Welcome to an episode of Kentucky Football Carpool Show. I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chris.
All right, today we have Patrick Loney with us from the Big Blue Banter. We've had him on here before. He's a great guest we have. Great website, everything. Welcome back, man.
I appreciate you guys having me back on.
Absolutely. It's been kind of a weird year since last time we talked to you. We were getting really excited about recruiting and everything and kind of hoping for a very good football season, but things kind of went a different way. So I guess the start. Yeah, no kidding. Things have changed dramatically since then. I guess that's where we're going to start before we move on to obviously the biggest news going on with the offensive coordinator and everything. But what went wrong this season? Was it everything? What's going on?
I think just the inconsistency with on offense. Defense, mobility, if I'm being honest. There's inconsistency on both sides of the ball, and then special teams didn't have a special teams coordinator, which I understand why, because there's quite a few coaches who actually have coordinator experience, special teams coordinators, so I understand why Stoops was trying to do that, but you're down, you really need 11 coaches in that team, but they do what you have to do with, and overall, I think it's just COVID thing, and injuries, and what happened to John Slarman, and Chris Owens, it just kind of took a toll on them, and I get that. It became a lot more than just football wins and losses. It became very personal and emotional, and I totally understand why some people are, you know, it takes a toll. I personally lost interest in football, covering it, just because it was always very emotional, and you could just tell with the coaching staff, the players, the support staff, they was just done. It was also, they need a step back away from it. And they couldn't get that. And they were shorthanded. Like Steve said, they were shorthanded most of the season. But it is what it is. They didn't back down. They didn't back out. They did the best they could.
And you could see that. You could see that. You could see the field, the emotional toll it really took over. I mean, obviously the Missouri game, after the Tennessee game, we thought that we were going to kind of, okay, we're getting right now. And Missouri game kind of came off, and we found out what was going on behind the scenes. But like, it was kind of a weird year to see that, like, this was the first time, and I know losing does this kind of stuff, but it's the first time I actually seen players openly talking about coaches and stuff and criticizing other players and stuff. And was there any kind of problem in the locker room, or is it just we were losing, so that's this kind of thing that happens?
Frustration.
Yeah, just a frustration.
I think it's more frustration than anything. I don't think there was any actual like rift in the locker room or issues in the locker room. I think it was just more just frustration of losing and being shorthanded. And, you know, you see other SEC schools get games canceled, postponed, and you wonder why is Kentucky's games get postponed or any of that. And it's just, I think it's just a mounting of frustration and just being emotionally drained from what everything's been going on. Just kind of just came to a head.
Sure. And it just, like I said, this is a disappointing season, like we've all know. And I think it's the most talented team he's ever had, but kind of everything that spring practice, I think that put him behind a little bit too. But at the same time, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you got to move forward, and we'll be losing a lot of guys, especially on the offensive line. Do you know of anyone potentially coming back next year as far as the seniors go or anything like that?
There's possibilities. There's still decisions to be made, and like Stoops said, there's gonna be some discussions. I've heard a few, like Devontae Robinson, JP, Josh Pascal might come back. There's a possibility of a couple seniors. I don't think everyone's gonna come back. I think there's gonna be quite a few, and I think there's a possibility of some Cuspin leaving or coming back as well. Like Darian Kennard could pivot for coming back, but I would understand if he left. So, you know, there's quite a few variables still to be determined on that. And, you know, if seniors do return, it doesn't count against the 85, so that's good too. So, I mean, you're not worth worrying about oversigning, which I don't know if you listen about tomorrow. You're talking about they're going to add some transfers and all that stuff.
That was going to be my next question is, what transfers have you, I think, one from Georgia Tech is pretty much locked in. But other than him, what transfers could end that?
Oh man, he's gonna ask me that question. I can't really say. Like, I can't. I know of one, but I already know if I say it, it'd be debunked by such and such family. So I'm not gonna go out there and say it. But I will say it would be someone Kentucky has recruited in the past. Possibly two has been recruited by in the past.
Wide receiver.
Was he Mr. Kentucky football?
Saying, I'm not saying.
Because that's the big fish.
Okay. I would say there is one at least wide receiver. Maybe two is wide receiver. How about that?
Hey.
Hey, there we go. There we go. Well, so I guess staying on with that, obviously we all know Eddie Grant and Henshaw is gone. Who are you hearing on the head coaching? Who are you hearing the hottest names that are on the block right now, I guess?
There's so many names going out there. I couldn't tell you. But there's easily 20, 25 names being mentioned right now. From just college and NFL ranks, there's so many so many candidates, and like he said, there's a lot of people interested. There's been quite a few in NFL I've heard, been a few in college I've heard. You know, I know like a lot of people mentioned Gal Gundy, Joe Moorhead, Garrett Riley. You know, if you want to go NFL, Ken Dorsey, because he has that Miami connection with Stoops. Trying to think, the Kansas City running back, I think from Youngstown, he's got connection with Stoops. Shane Waldron from St. Louis, but I think, or not St. Louis, but Los Angeles Rams. And then you have the Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator. There's a lot of possibilities. And Stoops is keeping it wide open. I don't think he's in no rush. But I do know there's a job posting that was recently extended. It was supposed to expire on the 7th. It was extended to tomorrow. And you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm almost certain Stoops said he would hire an OC first before he hired an O-line coach.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Now, I've said that to a couple people, and they're like, I don't remember hearing that, but I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure he said that, unless I was just possibly dreaming about that or halfway asleep, but I'm almost certain he said that, so that job posting is supposed to expire tomorrow. I do not know if that means the hire's in it. I don't. Like I said, Steve's just keeping it close to vest. You could say maybe he could. I mean, technically, it doesn't say all this offensive line coach. It just says coach assistant. So, and then there's two other coach assistant jobs. Expires Monday of next week on the 14th. So theoretically speaking, Steve's can hire all three coaches before sign day. Theoretically speaking.
I would think he'd prefer to do that, right? I mean, or does it really? Is it going to impact anything?
It probably, you know, just keeps the kids know what they're getting into. Right?
Would it impact that much? Or I mean, I guess it probably would offensively, but I mean, most kids now know where they're going to go, right?
Well, like kind of like what Vince said on his Steve's radio show Monday, that basically recruits know Steve's isn't going anywhere, so the recruiting part of it is not going to matter. But it would help in some aspect. Okay, you have, if you hire, say, this high-powered, exciting offense coordinator, and you get, you know, a running back coach, an offensive line coach, you could recruit just like these other guys. Maybe you have a surprise before signing day. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, Stoops always has something up his sleeve. The transfers will definitely probably be after bowl season. So that'd be in this month, begin next month possibility. But until then, you know, I mean, recruiting as a whole is kind of very, very quiet, but which is surprising considering you're only like a week and a half away from signing day. But, that's the way it kind of not, but like you said, 2020 has been a weird year, and it's just, everything's just, you guys take things day to day. With that being said, though, I mean, I would think at least an idea for recruits, okay, here's who I'm considering. Keep this on a down low, who I'm interviewing, who I'm traveling to see with, I think that would help some. And I'm sure that he's doing that. I mean, I think it was interesting on his Stoops radio show Monday, he had him, Vince Morrow, and Dan Brezowitz all together in the office. To me, that came off as he's already doing phone interviews with candidates. Because you have your chief of staff, your right-hand man, and your and the head man himself. I took it as that.
I would think that's probably a clue. Yeah, I would think that's pretty close.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Because Stoops has said, you know, he wants to find somebody that's going to throw the ball more and stuff like that. But do you really think Stoops, I mean, I think we all know this, Stoops loves to run the ball. Do you really think he's going to find a guy that's pass heavy, or do you think he'll try to find more balance?
He's going to find someone that's balanced, but also someone's going to throw the ball down the field. There's going to be, you're not going to have this one-dimensional offense that Kentucky's had the last 2 years, and that's nothing against Darren Hinshaw and Eddie Graham, because both of them are excellent coaches, and both are excellent men. They're, people have, you know, bashed at both of them. There's absolutely no need for that. Those two took Kentucky to the next level, got a lot of wins, were very respectful, represented the university very well. There's no need for the backlash for them, period.
Right.
But with that being said, I do think Stoops is evolving as a head coach and understanding the game, college game is changing, like how Nick Saban changed his offense. I think Stoops is kind of evolving into that as well. I think he's more open. He liked to have a balance, you know, not air raid like you see on Mike Leach. Because when you got talented running backs, you probably have one of the best running backs in all the SEC, if not the country, and C-Rod, if he comes back. And, you know, if you have him back, you can hire an exciting offensive coordinator, whether it be Garrett Riley or someone from the NFL or whatnot. And you can hire an offensive or an online coach and a running back coach. You never know what you're going to get. I mean, there's still, I think, I know Jovan Bonight, I think he's safe for now, but it's going to depend on the offensive coordinator too. I think there's a possible chance he might get replaced, but I doubt it right now, because if he wasn't, if he was, yeah, I think he already been fired by now. But at the same time, you know, I think Stoops is going to have an open mind about it. I don't think it's going to be pass happy, but I do think it's going to be balanced, and I think you're going to see exciting offense that will put points up on the board against SEC caliber teams. And I think that's one thing that I don't know if you guys listened about Stoops was how Grant and Henshaw's offense was real exciting against Cincinnati, but he said in the long lines they weren't facing the SEC defense every week either.
Very true.
That's true, yeah.
So I think he's evolving as that is, okay, I need to get some offensive coordinator he could bring in here, bring an exciting offense, throw the ball down the field, and be able to consistently score against the SEC defense every week.
Agreed.
So I take it as he's evolving as his schemes and the way he thinks of things is changing over time with the game. I think he's realized the ground pound game is not going to work.
Well, yeah, that's not going to work in the SEC anymore. You're right. I mean, just the conference itself has evolved into a pass heavy. I mean, I think we got the defense to be able to compete. I think even this year they've had the defense to compete, but it's just you can't expect your defense to be on the field 90 plays a game or whatever, 70 plays a game, and expect them to come out every game and be able to perform at a high level. It's just not going to happen. And, and we can't have an offense that's averaging, what, we average 21 points or something like that. So you just not going to win in the SEC, not anymore. Man, everyone's going that way. That's why everybody. That's why Lane Kiffin's in the SEC now. That's why the old Pirates in the SEC now. You got Dan Mullins doing his thing. So everybody's going to that route.
That's true. Yeah. That's very, very true.
So, and I agree with you on Eddie Graham, man. I actually thought what he did last year was awesome, and I thought it was actually a hell of a thing to do in the middle of a season to change your offense like that.
And he's one hell of a running backs coach.
Yes, he is. But with that said, I think that really hurt all our receivers this year. But you had to do what you had to do last year. You know, you're trying to win. So that's what we had to
exactly.
do.
So. Exactly. Nothing, you know, with the Hinshaw and Grin news, I think, you know, Steve said he's been working on a couple weeks. I think Grin and Hinshaw both were just burnt out. especially what happened to Slarman. I think it just kind of deflated him, and it took him out. You know, I think they both just need a break. I think Graham personally needs a break, because then he was basically coaching the O-line too. I think it was just too much.
So I've got a couple things, Pat. So you kind of touched on the special teams coordinator thing. Mm-hmm. Do you think that we'll hire another special teams coordinator? And do you see Jeff Jagodinski finding a permanent place on the staff?
Oh, geez. To be honest, I don't know on either one of those. I think Stoops will either promote somebody within to be a special teams coordinator. I do think that either be Summerall, Klingscale, someone like that. I do think that's a possibility. As for Jag, I don't know. Maybe he might stay as a quality control guy or something like that. I do not know for certain. If he'll be staying on staff, you know, that's something that's Stoops kind of kept on down low when he's hiring him. I know it came out about, but that's kind of something he prefers to keep on down low. So I think it depends on who he hires. I know I'm thinking there's one coach that's a candidate that has some type of connection with him, or Greg Minsky, which I think coached at Washington at the same time as one. I can't remember which candidate it is, but has a connection with him as well. So a lot of it depends on who's probably being hired to replace Eddie Grant and Darren Hirschall. Mm-hmm. But if he wants to stay on staff as a QC, I think that'd be a legit possibility.
Can't get enough good coaches.
That's true. And I think with considering how COVID's going on, you know, there's down 10 coaches and for like one game or a couple games, I think more support staff is going to be a possibility as well. Because Stoops kind of said money is not going to be an issue to replace these guys. So, you know, I think he's got the full support from Eli Capilito and Mitch Monhart. So, I wouldn't be surprised if support staff gets a little bit bigger as well. So, you know, I think it's a possibility he becomes a support staff person that potentially COVID, you know, happens next season as well. He could be promoted to a, you know, on-field coach.
Well, yeah. Well, with all that said, do you see any of these guys, since a new offensive coordinator is coming in and stuff like that, do you see any of these wide receivers wanting to transfer or anyone? I worry about Gatewood, too. Is he something that they could build on the future with? Are they going to go Bo Allen? Is that anything that we're still very early to be able to predict stuff like that?
It's a little early to predict that stuff, honestly. I think it depends on, you know, the new offense. What it's going to look like, who's going to be running it, and all that, you know, just, I think they'll make an informed decision then. And after that, you know, just a few transfers leaving, there's going to be a few transfers coming in. I think it'll bounce itself out eventually. I think it's a little too early to say, oh, it's going to be this or that person kind of transferred or whatnot.
Fair.
I think everyone's just keeping it wide open.
Fair enough. Have you heard anything about bowl games? I know Stoops said they're absolutely going to take one, as I think they should. Have you heard anything about potential where we're heading to locations?
Music City is a legit one. I noticed since LSU did their whole bowl band tonight, which is hysterically funny to me.
Yeah, good time to do it, right?
I think. You're just admit you're terrible this year, and it's all good. I could see them move the Gator Bowl possibly, just that it backed out. I think that could potentially move Kentucky up. I doubt it though. I think Ole Miss probably be Gator Bowl. But I think the Music City is probably the safe bet right now.
With funny news coming out with the LSU one, what's funnier? LSU bowl banning themselves on a 3-5 season, or Mike Krzyzewski whining about the season that he wanted to have?
It's about one and the same.
No kidding. Any thoughts on the basketball team while you're here?
No, not really.
Plead the fifth.
Yeah, a lot of people are pleading the fifth right now with the basketball team. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'm getting tired of salesman. I just want to win games. That's what I want. That's what I want. I thought they, I don't, in this day and age, I don't see how you can't shoot the ball. I just don't understand it. But,
well, it's not just shooting the ball, but passing the ball.
Yeah. Fundamentals.
Just basic fundamentals. I'm thinking they can't dribble, they can't hold on the ball, they can't pass the ball, they can't shoot, they can't rebound, they can't box out. They can block shots, but they can't get the ball after they get the block shots. So what can they do?
That's why you're 1-3. You could beat Moorhead, and that's about it.
I'll tell you what, if we got points for turnovers, we'd be number one in the league.
Yeah, no kidding. I think they've been hurt a lot by a lot of this. No Cupcake Kings early, no off season. I think they've hurt a lot. So,
but yeah, I think the whole COVID thing's not helped at all.
Right, I agree.
But I know they're now like in Camp Cal, so maybe they'll straighten up then. Maybe I'd have to see it to believe it. But not right now. They don't have a point guard. Sar's talented, but when he gets to with another big man, he kind of fades off. I mean, the kid from Georgia Tech ate him and Jackson's lunch all game.
He's post presence. He's too slight.
And, ask you, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he's thinking too much or what, but he picks the ball up 30 feet from the freaking go, and then he's like, well, what am I supposed to do with it? And then Mance, he was never a point guard. He was a combo guard. He's trying to play as a point guard, and it's not working. And you got Boston. Boston's, I don't know what's going on with him. He shoots, and he miss. And then when he tries to go to the go, he does the exact same Euro step over and over and over. It's not hard to scout. You know exactly what direction he's going to. He's not tough with the ball. He brings it down. Same as Jackson, brings it down. He's not tough with it. If you're going to bring it down, you better bring it down with some. No, you gotta know you got people grabbing at it. You just can't let it get grabbed out of your hands and scored on. This is big boy basketball. This is not AAU. This is not high school. You gotta bring it down. You bring it down like a man. But they don't have that at all. They don't have that toughness. They don't have that physical toughness at all. They're gonna get beaten bang when SEC plays. I think that's gonna be an absolute disaster. I think Tennessee is gonna roll their ass over. But. It kind of is what it is. They gotta grow up
quickly.
Take the bumps in a row and grow up and learn from it.
Yep.
But they shouldn't have lost that bad at Georgia Tech, because Georgia Tech wasn't that good.
Yeah, Georgia Tech's not a very good team. I agree with you on that. That's the big issue. Like us as fans are making fun of Duke and stuff being 2-2, but Duke lost to two good teams. We lost to Georgia Tech and a Richmond team that lost after us. So.
Well, I would say Richmond's better than Georgia Tech, but they just completely quit against Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy who shot almost a 25-footer, and no one has their hands up. The kid's 5'10", and you're 6'7", and you don't put your hands up, and you just let him shoot them all over you. And you realize, oh, wait a minute, there's a ball. And it goes in. And then you get wide open, and you get the ball, and you shoot it, and it's a brick. And you know you can't shoot from there, but you brick it in a way. And you brick it, and you brick it, and you brick it. And you're like, what are you doing in practice at all?
Not shooting the ball, I'll tell you that.
And I think you lied to us when you said you didn't have much to say about the basketball team.
Well,
I think we're all frustrated. Yeah. We're all frustrated with it because we're tired. We're tired of getting told that we have great teams. And then we get to the games, and you're like, well.
Where's the great team at?
Yeah. And I thought this year we were going to have a good team, but better days are ahead.
That's so early.
Better days are ahead, yes.
The only one who fought against Georgia Tech was Clark. That was the only one who fought.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
The only one had a hot hand, too. But why Cal took him out in the first half when he couldn't miss, and then second half he wasn't nearly as hot, I don't understand at all.
Well, someone told me – or I read today – I don't know where I read it today, but – I read it today that they're going to start playing him at point a little bit more. Be like a Tyreek Evans type of thing. I don't know. They got to do something, man.
From the beginning.
Yeah, I agree. They got to do something. They need somebody, especially the point guard spot, to be able to go out and get a basket. I mean, they need one, or get to the rim, because it seems like our two other point guards, and you're right, Minson was never a point guard the point guard we want, and Askew's just not ready yet.
Askew's not ready at all. Even when he's wide open for a three, he doesn't take it. He just throws zero confidence.
He doesn't want to be the one that misses it. So that's why he throws it off. But he was supposed to come in here with a pretty decent shot. So,
well, see, that's the thing I don't understand. Okay, it's every single year. You recruit these great shooters, but when they come to Kentucky, they can't shoot a lick. But they go to pros or whatnot, and then they're lighting it up again. Are you instilling in their head they can't shoot the ball? Or what is it? Because, I mean, Askew's supposed to be one of the best shooters, and yet he's too scared to shoot the ball. It's kind of ridiculous.
He didn't have a good reputation as a consistent shooter. It was more like he has potential because of his form to be a good shooter.
Well, even if you have potential, you still need to shoot the ball. There's no one else on the team that can shoot the ball. I mean, they're shooting, what, at one time they're shooting 19%. I mean, I could just drop kick the ball and have a better chance going in. They were. They're shooting like they're supposed to.
No, I agree. I think the offense needs to – he needs to go out and start recruiting some, like, shooters and stuff. And obviously it's easier said than done. But I think that's probably why he's had a really big problem with recruiting big guys. But because big guys in today's day and age wants to shoot the ball. And Cal's still doing his pick-and-roll stuff and keeping guys on the block. We had – what, EJ was one of the ones that could shoot the ball. I mean, he's let him shoot a little bit. But for the most part, he's not letting his big guys shoot the ball. So – big guys are going elsewhere. I don't know. I think that's another big of the problem. That's another problem we've had. But hopefully they'll get it together because I'm gonna tell you, Notre Dame's gonna be a tough matchup this weekend.
Yeah, no, they will be. And they gotta shape it before Louisville comes in town, or they go Louisville wherever. I don't even know where the hell they go this year. I haven't paid that much attention to them. It's been that bad. Yeah, I mean they just gotta grow up and they gotta start playing team ball. It can't be AAU ball. I gotta get mine and. Rest of y'all, you don't even appear. I'm going to dribble, dribble, dribble. About 10 seconds left. Dribble, dribble, dribble. 5 seconds. Dribble, dribble, dribble. Oh, there's a shot clock. I got to shoot it now.
Yeah, that's.
I got to look all fancy. I got to play James Harden. Side step, shoot, bam, brick.
That's our dribble. Offense right there. Pretty much. That's pretty much been our offense the entire year.
Yeah, I was like, I can't deal with it. I cannot deal with it.
Well, nope. Before we get off here, what do you got going on? Anything good?
No, nothing major going on. Just taking day by day.
Nothing with the website or anything?
No, nothing with the website.
What'd you have for dinner?
No promos. to be honest, I was eating dinner when he was calling. I was having Arby's wrap.
Ooh, I work next door to Arby's. I can't stand it. It gets old quick.
Yeah, I could get that. I haven't had Arby's in a while, so I was like, okay, I'm going to have Arby's.
Oh, good for you.
So, yeah, that's okay.
It's very underwhelming, isn't it?
One last thing I'll get from you is, who do you want as an offense coordinator?
Oh, geez.
If you're hiring, who's your guy? Not obviously one within reason. We all like to have, you know, McVay's and stuff like that, but within reason.
Here's my dream. I won't say who's my offensive coordinator. I would go with my dream offensive staff. How about that?
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, I would have James Coy as quarterback coach, Eddie Graham as running back coach. Those two would be co-offensive coordinators. I probably have James Coy as playmaker or play caller. I would have Damian Craig as your wide receiver coach, Vince Morrow as tight end, and John Sermon as your offensive line coach.
Yeah, that's how you win a national championship right there. Well, Patrick, man, we appreciate you coming on again. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and hopefully you want to come back again and talk some football or basketball, or hey, when we're one, if we get to 1-10, we'll get you back on here. We can talk more about that.
Or we can talk about just how underwhelming Arby's was.
Yeah. Oh, we can talk about Arby's too. We also talk about how White Cuss has a sloppy Joe. I don't know why.
Yeah, I saw that. That sounded like rectum bleeding to me.
I don't know why, but they do. They have sloppy joes at White Castle.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that sounds horrible to me. So food poisoning.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely nasty. Yeah, I can't do White Castle. Last time I had White Castle, I think I just went to a spring game and I had White Castle like, you know, it was 2 o'clock in the morning in Louisville, I think, and I was like, hungover, and I'm like, I'm not hungover. Am I drunk? Why am I eating this?
It's a Dusseldorf, man. It's the mustard. Every time.
It's addicting.
All right, Patrick, man. Well, like I said, appreciate you coming on, brother, and, you know, be good, man.
Yeah, sounds good. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yes, sir. Thanks, buddy. Bye.